Thank God for the service so far. We'll not tarry any longer. We're going to go ahead and have Brother Josh come. No doubt, church, let's get behind him and lift him up, that God will preach the message that we all need through him. We know that it's not Josh, that it's God speaking to us, but thankful that Josh is a good mouthpiece. I love him. Appreciate him. Brother Josh, if you would, come. Love you, brother. Come on, buddy.
Hey, man, appreciate the opportunity to be here. And I was thinking she was giving her testimony there. The Bible says if you have a choice, choose life. And I'm glad for that. I've been pondering and thinking about that during this week. And if you have your Bibles, 1 Kings chapter number 18 is where we'll be. 1 Kings chapter number 18. And I believe that we'll begin reading with verse number 41. And I kind of chuckled within myself. The brother gave me this microphone to wear. And I kind of go back to recent revival that we were in. And it's kind of funny how Satan works sometimes. Well, they come by and said, well, we enjoyed you're singing your testimony, but y'all are just a little too loud. And I tried to think not too much of it, but Satan, you know how he works. He'll just plant a little bit of seed in there and to get you thinking. And I was thinking yesterday, I was mowing the grass and pondering on this and other things, and I just thought to myself, I'm glad I've got something to be loud about. And you think about this world, and you can ask anybody. I'm a big sports fan. I always have been. Seems like it's getting less and less nowadays. Not caring about it as much, but you go down to a Reds ball game and you'll yell as loud as you can. You'll hoop and holler and try to engage your winning team to win. And I thought to myself, Lord, help me to be as strong for you as I am here, if not stronger, Lord, because this world needs to hear the real meaning, the real gospel, the real message that you came and died for us. And I'm glad I got something to be loud about. And if God puts it on your heart, I don't know anybody's heart here this morning. I don't know where you stand with God. The only thing I can tell you to do is follow the Lord. If God wants you to get up and walk around these pews, you just do right that. Because I guarantee if you do that, that just might be the very key to some lost soul that's holding on to that pew. They may be gripping on that pew right now. I know just the way the services went, I think God's dealing with somebody's heart. You may be holding on to the edge of that pew right now. And that may be the very key that they may see I need to step out to. And they come and be saved. Doesn't matter what's going on in the service. Mind the Lord. Whatever God bids you to do. And if God tells you to stand up and sing a song right now, let her go. May be peculiar, wouldn't it? Somebody's singing, somebody's preaching. Somebody may start praying. Wouldn't it be worth it all? Mind the Lord this morning. 1 Kings chapter number 18, verse 41. The Bible says, and Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of an abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth, and put his face between his knees. And he said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again seven times. And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up and say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heavens was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain, and Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. And that's all that we'll read this morning. And I appreciate you standing at the acknowledgement of God's word, and to get you up to this point. We desire your prayers this morning to get you up to where we're at here We know that Ahab was the king of Israel. We know that in the chapters before that it said that Ahab was the worst of all the kings up to that point, that his heart was set on evil and evil continually. Said that he was the worst of them all, and that he went out and married a woman out of a different kingdom, and we know that her name was Jezebel. We know how wicked that she was. It's very fitting that the two should come together. But I begin to think about this, and we know that God had told Elijah that there was going to be a drought. And we know that up until this point, the drought was of 3 years. And just prior to this point, we know what happened here, that all the children of Israel and all of them, they had turned to Baal. They had turned to all those things. And we know just a few verses prior that he was on the top of Mount Carmel again with all of Baal and the prophets. We know that they had a little contest. He said, well, you say that your God is God. Let's have a little contest. Let's just see who the real God is. We know that the real God will answer by fire. We know that those prophets of Baal, and I sometimes think to myself, maybe Elijah had a little sense of humor, said, well, I'm going to let you go first, because I know what my God's going to do. We know that they had knelt down, they had prayed to their God Baal, and we know that Baal did not answer. And it began to go on for hours. It said they began to cut themselves, beginning to think to themselves, well, Baal, are you not who that you said that you were? Are you not the same God we thought that you was? And we know that Elijah said, well, I'm going to prepare the altar. I want you to go ahead and bring me a couple buckets of water. You think about a drought time. Water meant a lot to them. I want you to bring me a couple buckets of water, and we're just going to go ahead and dump it all over the altar. I'm not the wisest man in the world, but I know if you're building a fire, you don't want to use water. Give me a couple of buckets and let me dump it on here. I wonder what them prophets of Baal thought about that. Well, obviously his God won't answer by fire. And we know that Elijah, after he prepared the altar, fell down on his knees and began to call out to God. And can you imagine, Dylan, what happened? That the heavens opened up, and it said the fire fell from heaven, and it licked up the water on the altar, and they said, surely he's God. So we get up to this point here, and drought's still going on. Elijah again goes up to the top of Mount Carmel. We know here that Ahab was there. We know that Elijah's servant was there with him. And God put this thought on our heart. And I've never looked at it this way, but I'd like to just focus on the servant here this morning. We know that there had been a drought for 3 years. And Elijah and his servant went to the top of the mountain. And the Bible says that Elijah fell upon the face of it and put his head between his knees and began to pray. Amen. And he told his servant, he said, I want you to do one thing for me. I want you to go up to the top. Yeah. And I want you to look toward the sea. And I want you to tell me what you see. And I could just see that servant. And that's who I like to focus on this morning. The servant. What he saw. What he felt. And I don't know how far that they had to go up and look. But I do know this. That the first time the servant went up there, he went up. I'm sure that he was looking for something to happen. And he went and said, Elijah, I don't see a thing. And he said, I want you to go 7 times. And then I could see him going up the second time. I'm sure there was a little doubt that began to take over. He went up there that second time. And he said, I don't see a thing, Elijah. And he'd come back down. Are you sure that's what you want me to do? And here comes the third time. Going back up that mountain. Oh, Elijah, what am
And all of a sudden, Dylan, doubt would fill our hearts. Oh, God. I need you. God, you know my need. You know exactly what I need, God. But I don't see the answer. And then all of a sudden, that fourth time, going back up, little despair creeping in. And you go up again and look for God. Amen. Oh, God, I don't see any. Oh, that's when Satan starts to come around, don't we? Are you sure that your God is gone? And that's when you start getting a little weak in the way. That's when it's time to pray. God will answer you. His time. I could see that fifth time. Surely I'm going to see something. Get up there again. All right, Elijah. What am I supposed to see here? I know if it's me, I question a lot of things. I ponder things a lot. I'm very outspoken. Not a good thing. That's the way that I am. Elijah, are you just pulling my leg? A lot of doubt starting to creep in now. God, are you playing tricks on me? This is a sick and funny way of playing hide and go seek. But God, you've got to realize I'm in despair. God, I've been praying. God, I don't see an answer. God, you know my heart. You know my need. God, I need you to answer me. Going up that sixth time. It may have been he had to find a walking stick because he's getting so tired of walking up. Creeping up there. I hope I see something this time. Get to the top. Look over toward the sea. Guess what he saw? Not a thing.
Not a thing.
Might have started walking back down the hill with his head down low. Elijah, all these six different times, I've followed your word. I've done what you told me to do. Elijah, I'm not seeing a thing. And then the word comes to him again. I told you. Go up seven times.
Amen.
Which one are y'all, friend?
Amen.
Well, Elijah, this will make number seven. I went up all these different times and I saw not a thing.
I hope that there's something to see this time. But this time going up, I'm sure that he had just crawled. He was probably broken hearted. But he went up this time, and he said, well, I see something. It looks like a man's hand, and it's coming out of the sea. Friend, just hold on. God's going to answer you.
That's it.
What's it look like? It looks like a man's hand. Coming up out of the sea. I don't know how far away that it was. You look at a map where Carmel was. The sea's not too far. If you've ever been to the Smoky Mountains anywhere out west, you get on high elevation, you can see a long way. I can just see that serpent.
guarantee you his heart began to leave. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, Elijah! It looks like a man's hand! Elijah said, I knew it! That's the hand of God! And he's coming to bring the rain! How many people were in despair? About to lose their lives! About to thirst to death! Think about it. People died during the drought.
Yeah.
I was mowing my grass yesterday, pondering on this. And God spoke to my heart. He said, Josh, I gave that drought for Elijah. What do you mean, Lord? Don't you know people died? Don't you know people lost everything that they had? All the crops they grow, they died. All the wealth that they had, they lost it all. All because God sent a drought for Elijah. You better believe it. Because just before the drought, God told Elijah, I will withhold the rain. You go and prophesy before Ahab and tell him, I will withhold the rain. And he did just that. We know how that space of 3 years went. And I guarantee you, Ahab, who was a wicked king, knowing that just 3 years prior, Elijah said, it will not rain.
That's right.
And here they are on top of Carmel. I hear the sound of an abundance of rain.
Amen.
God's about to open heaven, Ahab, because he said he would. What do you think Ahab thought? He served the prophets of Baal and just saw how his God failed. He just saw it.
Yeah.
And finally he told Elijah that your God is the real God.
Yeah.
We know that after this time he went to Jezebel and told her all that he had seen. Can you imagine? We're talking the king now. He went back to his wife and said, I got something to tell you. I want to tell you I was there in the witness. Baal did not answer. The God of Israel did.
Amen.
And afterwards, Elijah slew all those prophets of Baal. He killed them all. And she said, so as my word be, I will do unto the same to Elijah and all the prophets of Israel. And we know that Elijah, he found himself in a cave somewhere.
Yeah, that's right.
This is right after witnessing God open up heaven and send fire on his command. After he dug his face in the top of Mount Carmel again, and God sent rain.
Yeah.
He found himself in a cave right after God answering his prayer. God, where have you been? Where did you go? You've left me. God, I'm trying to serve you, but I'm all alone. And we know that God came by in a great wind. It said that it rent the mountains. Rocks began to fall, but God wasn't in the wind. Then all of a sudden a fire came. Began to consume some things, but yet he wasn't in the wind. Then he said, there was a small
voice
that began to speak out. And God was in that.
Amen.
Friend, I want you to know that God is coming by your way today. God set this thing up today. Because he knew that you'd be here. And I want Dylan had his own choice to make. My grandma, Verdi Campbell, I'm convinced there was nobody that ever lived closer to God than that woman. I'd been with her. I'd go to grandma's house. Mom would drop me off in the morning. And she was afraid when I got there. God bless my children. Save my grandchildren. Bless my church. Bless my pastor. Bless all my members. She was a prayer. That woman would get up. She'd find that recliner. She'd get the word of God out. And she'd begin to read for hours. And then all of a sudden, lunchtime comes. She said, "Son, we got to go to Wanda's house. We've got to pray." I'd go with her to Wanda's house. And buddy, they fell down in sackcloth and ashes. And they would pray. God gave grandma a gift. God gives people many different gifts, don't he? Mama could go right up to a lost person and say, "I'm praying for you that God would save your soul." And instantly conviction would fall on you. Oh, so many times she'd embrace me, "Son, I'm praying that God save your soul." And God would begin to stir in my heart. That was a gift that he gave her. My uncles tell you the same thing. They was lost potheads drinking out in the world. They'd have a run-in with Bertie Campbell. "Son, I'm praying that God saves your soul." God would grip your heart. They'd begin to pray, Dylan. Buddy, I was lost and undone. But I felt something in that house. I could feel the power of God. She'd go back home. She'd fix her some lunch. She'd go out there to that little flower garden that she had in the front. Just begin to pull the weeds. In the meanwhile, she was a prayer. Oh, God, help us all to get to that place in our life where it's all about God. She'd get done. She'd go back to that Bible. Everyday thing. And I think to myself, how short that I come with God. God help me to get to that place where you mean everything to me. Right? She had power with God. If I would take a poll this morning and ask you to raise your hand, how many of you would like to have more power with God? Every hand would go up. I want power with God. So that when I walk into work, people go, "Uh-oh, he's back." Then we'd have to put notice out. He'll be back at 0700. Preacher's coming back in. How great would that be? You put the devil on notice everywhere that you walk.
Yeah. Amen.
Boy, that'd be wonderful, wouldn't it?
Yes.
But guess what? The power that Elijah had, you can have that power too.
Okay. Yeah.
What did Elisha ask for of Elijah? "Buddy, I've walked with you. I went twice of what you got." What did Elijah say? "Yes, hard thing. You think my walk is easy? I've had to hide myself in a cave because I was afraid for my life. You sure you want twice the duration in the cave? If that's what it takes, I'm willing." Right?
Yeah.
Are you willing?
Yeah.
If that's what it takes. Are you willing to be in a desolate place for a long time? And ask God. How many times did David, we heard Psalms a lot this morning. How many times did David say, all ye lands, praise the Lord. And then all of a sudden, the next minute, God, where are you at?
Yeah.
God, you left me. I can't seem to find it, God. How about it this morning? Where do you stand with the Lord? In the terms of the military, are you in the infantry? Are you right there on the front line? You staring Satan right in the face? Got my sword?
Amen.
And my shield. Go ahead and go fired up again! I've got the Word of God! How do you think them fiery darts hold up to the Word of God? Breastplate of righteousness. I'm no medical professional. Get your song ready. I'm about done. But I've said this. That if you were to make a decision right here, and they was to open me up, I wonder if the light of God would begin to shine through. Because there's a part on the inside that God sent me. Oh, honey, I want you to know the best part. He said I would set up my abode. Confidence on the inside. You want to open me up? Get ready to see God. Because He lives in here.
Yeah.
God lives in here. God loves camping. He camps in me every day.
That's it.
If we were to open your heart up today, what would be in there? Is God in there? God was speaking to my heart December 7th, 1997. There was an empty hole. Mom and Dad said, son, never find peace in this world until you let God.
Amen.
And that night in the church, I stood without an empty 10-year-old boy. Then something great happened.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost rested on my soul. Would you like to live forever? Paradise. Yeah. How do I get there?
Yeah. Amen.
Son, it looks something like this. I don't know about you, but when you haven't seen somebody for a long time, and you see each other from far off, you both begin to open your arms. Hey, bring it in. I want an embrace. What did Jesus do on the cross? 2,000 some years later, He saw you far off. And He shut forth His arms. Same invitation today as it was back then. Come.
Yeah, that's right.
Come.
Yeah.
Just read Revelation this morning. Come. Take the water, life, freely. His life is freely given to you. I was opening up my billfold this morning. There could be some moths from out of there. I don't know. You can't buy salvation.
That's right.
I'll say this and I'll shut up. I would pass the flight shepherd, my cousin. He said when God was dealing with his heart, he tried to barter salvation with God over a bicycle that he had. It was a bicycle that stood between him and God. As a child, grew up poor, but yet he got this brand new bicycle for Christmas. And it was the dearest thing that he had. And he said, I stood that day, and I had a choice to make. God said, it's either that bicycle or it's me. Sounds silly, doesn't it? That a bicycle would stand between you and hell for eternity! But that day for him, an old bicycle. What's standing between you and God? Guess what? You already know what it is. You're trying to bargain with God right now. But if I can make a strong recommendation to you this morning,
yeah.
If you have the choice,
yeah.
Choose. Why? Why? As they say. How about it?
Where do you stand with the Lord?
How many times have you climbed that mountain? On trip number 4, starting to look a little bleak. Starting to wonder where God's at. Come find him. Seek the Lord out. Are you on trip number 2? You just getting started in your trial? Come ask God for strength. Number 5. Did you hear the word of the Lord come to you? You're searching once again? How about? Take your real close. Start to make that climb to trip number 6. I want you to know something great. God's about to reveal some things to you. God will be there for you. God will answer your prayer. I guarantee you he will. There's somebody else that you need to pray for. How about them lost children? Are you willing to go to God on their behalf? I've got 3 youngins back there. Some are asking questions. They need a mom and dad on their behalf. Do we have any mommies and daddies that care enough about their children? Then take them to God! Come! Satan, if I can tell you, don't you dare go up to this place. Yeah, they're going to think that you've done wrong this week. They're going to think you've done all kinds of bad. Dare go up here. How long are we going to allow Satan to convince us that we don't need to use the altar anymore?
How long are the churches going to be silent? We need the altar full of thanks to God!
They try to tell you nowadays, keep quiet in the church. You dare bother nobody. James, tone it down back here.
I am the
one. What if everybody in the church listened to that voice? What if there were no amen?
lost my dove. Somebody stood in the gap for me. Bless their heart. Somebody stood in my stead. We need a church full of people. We want to stand in the gap. Pray about it. Don't let this opportunity pass by.
I'm not the wisest individual, but I can tell you how easy this thing is this morning, Dylan. It's either yes or no. God made this thing so easy, a child could understand. My uncle got saved when he was 6 years old. A child can understand this way. Sometimes we'll allow Satan to make this thing so difficult. Dealing when God was dealing my heart, that was the hardest thing I ever did do. Hardest thing. You know how easy that it is?
Yeah. One step.
Yeah.
One step.
Yeah.
I didn't have to make it to the altar before I got saved. You want to know when I got saved?
When I took that
step. When this right foot lifted up off the ground. Yeah. And I said, God, I'm going! Yeah. God saved my soul.
Hey,
I'll tell you, I'm blessed because I've got it on video. They gave us a VHS tape of that service that night. I've got it on VHS. I don't know what a VHS player is anymore. Don't even probably even know what it looks like. But I've got it on video. I floated to the altar. Starting to bring back memories? I don't remember walking. I remembered that somebody took all the way of sin.
Yeah, he did. Yes, he did.
And I met the Lord.
Yes, he did.
As my wife said, I'll tell you the best thing I ever did do.
Amen.
That's when I told Satan, get away from me.
Yep.
And I told God, I said, go ahead, Lord.
Yeah.
Move right on in.
God, have your way. Yeah. Yes.
Right? Because what did God do for you that night? Do we have anybody in here who's having a heart attack? I've often said, I'll say this, and I'll shut up. I promise. I'll shut up.
Yeah.
Not
yeah.
easy sometimes. I was 10 years old when God saved me. And if you could have hooked up all those EKG things to my body, I bet all the doctors and nurses in the world would get quite concerned and scared for me. My heart was beginning to come out of my body. And I remember many times, Mom and Dad on the way home, we'd be leaving church, and I'd say, Mom and Dad, what does it sound like when God speaks to your heart? I don't want to miss it. You know what that reply was? Son, you know.
Amen. That's right.
A concerned 9-year old boy. But what does it sound like? I don't want to miss it. Same reply. Son, you'll know. That night I was sitting next to Mom. God was speaking to my heart. I did not have to look over to Mom and say, Mom, hey, thank God.
That's right. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. I knew it was God! So if you're inquiring in your heart this morning, what does God sound like? You already know.
Yeah.
I hope you didn't turn God away. Because this may have been it. Is that how serious that it is? Did you know something? Dylan, if God never came by my heart again, as a 9-year-old boy, 9 years old,
a little third grader would have been destined for hell forever. A third grader.
Yeah.
God only obligates himself.
Amen.
It's by God's grace.
Amen.
That a year later he came back again.
Yeah.
But what if he doesn't?
Amen.
Are you willing to exchange eternity for one step? Between God. I don't know where your heart's at this morning. But I do know this. God loves you. God woke all these people up this morning and let them get a shower, get their clothes on, get prepared for church, to come because they love you. God purposed this service today just for you.
Right.
Dylan, that night, December 7th, 1997, God made that service just for me. He tailor-made the songs, the testimonies, and the message just for me. And you know what God did? August 25th, 2019, He tailor-made this day just for you. What would you do with it?
Amen.
You know your heart. You know where you stand. That's between you and God. That's all I've got.
We can certainly say our heart's heavy. I believe God was speaking to somebody this morning, and Josh has already said it, that God loves you. But I'll tell you this: God loves you so much that He won't leave you alone. He didn't leave me alone. I turned Him away at 10 years old, and He badgered me and badgered me and badgered me until I was almost crazy. So I couldn't handle it anymore. And then that was when I finally gave it in. Friend, there'll be a point where you have to make that choice. You'll choose Him or you won't. It'll be the best choice you ever made. Best friend you'll ever have. The easiest person to talk to. And the person you'll find, He'll listen the best. He just wants your heart. He doesn't care about nothing else. He just wants your heart today. You don't have nothing to give Him. He's everything you have, He's given to you anyway. It's His. Just give Him who you are. You don't have to clean yourself up. You don't have to do anything other than just give Him who you are. Be who you are. Be a sinner. Because you can't get saved before you take your place as a sinner. God will clean you up. He loves you. I don't know what else to do. I know that just a little bit later on we have a baptism service. That's going to be amazing. And so I'll ask the church to stand if they would. Does anyone have anything on their heart this morning they need to say or do? Anyone else this morning? Okay. If not, in the way of announcements, we've already said that there's going to be a baptism. Little Gabriella is going to get baptized this morning. And I believe we're waiting on Victor. So what I guess we'll do is we'll go ahead and I don't want to close out this service because I want you to stay in this frame of mind. But I'll say, church, keep this frame of mind, keep this heaviness on your heart, that hopefully somebody comes back tonight and they accept God in their heart. And I'll say, you're at liberty to go. If we want to do it like this, I guess, I don't know how far away Victor is. We can give him a call. I don't know if Jerry's going to give him a call or not. But,